Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast, everybody, episode 143. I'm Rick Shields, I'm here with co-host Guy. And this podcast, very excitingly, is brought to you, powered by our really good friends, Golf Bidder.
Your best friend?
One of the top three.
Yeah, I would say so.
Well, I don't have many, so yeah. So our good friends at Golf Bidder have hooked us up for the next four episodes. You know that I love Golf Bidder. Going down there to their superstore, their kind of Willy Wonka's chocolate factory of golf clubs, where sometimes they'll have up to 25,000 different golf clubs from all the major manufacturers. You've seen the videos I've done there with Pete. I've done other videos as well with Golf Bidder. And I'm going to give you a little sneak preview. A little sneak something. There may be some more Golf Bidder videos coming very soon.
Can I give them more rush?
Yeah.
There definitely is more Golf Bidder videos coming soon, so they will be class.
And hopefully, who knows? I'm not promising anything. Maybe a £500 Golf Bidder challenge versus a certain Peter Finch. I'm not saying anything.
Unless he's scared.
But that's what's out there.
Call him out now. This is the title of the podcast.
Peter Finch. Right now, I'm on this lens. Peter Finch. You're probably going to... No. Think positive, Rick. I've played really good golf today.
Come on.
Peter Finch. You, me, £500 each, Golf Bidder, challenge, 18 holes. Let's do it. Sign on the dotted line. Get your people to speak to my people and we'll make it happen.
Wow, that will be exciting. But yeah, Golf Bidder, what a company. You've worked with them for about 6 years, I think now, Rick, isn't it? A long, long time. Great partnership. And it's great that partnership is carrying over this year as well. And also for you listening, thinking, what do I get out of this? Well, I'll tell you what you get out of this. For the next 4 weeks, so this week and the next three, we are going to read out a Dear Rick. Each person that gets the Dear Rick read out puts into a little pot. Right?
Oof, go on.
This little pot, at the end of the 4 weeks, we're going to pull someone's name, or maybe not their name potentially, because if it's a Dear Rick, it might be secretive. Ooh. But we'll pull out, like, for example...
Their story.
Man gets hit by golf ball in eye story, for example.
Yeah.
That person will win a voucher to go and spend at Golf Bidder. Now, the good news is, I said a phone call with Golf Bidder.
Okay.
We haven't come to the conclusion of how much this is going to be yet.
Oof.
So by the last week, we'll have an announcement and we'll tell you. It could be like 25 million quid. Could be.
Could be £2.50.
It also could be.
But stay tuned. Yeah, make sure you get your Dear Ricks in. Email Rick. No, it's not. Email podcasts@rickshields.com.
Yes.
This is a mad stat. I actually didn't know this. The company started in 1997. Now, I know a lot of you who have watched my YouTube channel for a long time, they'll know what Golf Bidder is. It's a website where you can sell and buy used golf equipment, the best of used golf equipment. They're just a fantastic company. You can sell, if you've got a garage full of old gear, you can ship it over to them and you can get a nice big load of money in your bank account. And also, if you fancy trying a new club or trying something at second hand, you can also buy new from Golf Bidder as well.
Nice.
You can buy from the website. But it started in 1997 and it was originally called Mashy Niblick, the shop. I didn't know that.
No, nail the die.
And then before going online to Golf Bidder in 1999, I think that was a wise move.
Golf Bidder's a good name, and it's simple.
Not Mashy Niblicks.
But no, it's good because I think you said maybe off camera then before we started, we're doing some chatting, as we always do, just chatting along, just chirping around.
Sometimes we chat when we're not got a microphone in front of
us. We have to pay Rick to chat to me normally. So it's like he has to be making money from our conversations. So when they're not getting recorded, it's very short one-word answers.
Talk to me. All right, that's enough talking.
But... secondhand clubs are a good way to go
yeah.
because there's a lot, certainly the last, we said this before in videos, but last 6 or 7 years, there's only small incremental changes to golf clubs. We all know that. No one's getting the wool pulled over their eyes these days. So if you fancy a new driver, by all means, go out and buy a brand new one, shiny, take the wrapper off. It's a good feeling. But if you want to get yourself a good deal, I don't want to get your pants pulled down, I don't want to get ripped off, secondhand is a good way to go.
Yeah.
We even see now a lot of tour pros aren't always upgrading to the latest and greatest, are they?
We look at even like Matt Fitzpatrick, like when he won his major this year, like he has a mixture of obviously new equipment, but also some old gear in there as well. Even Tony Finau, who's recently gone back-to-back wins, has got a Nike Vapor 2 iron still in the bag. So it just goes to show that new equipment, yep, it's all fancy, it's all shiny. And again, all available from golfbidder.co.uk. Nice little plug.
Perfect.
What an adventure today has been.
Yes, it has. So we've been filming a Break 75 that's not out this Friday. It's out next Friday. Absolute Barry Banger at Wallasey. That's all we're going to say about that because it's a good one.
Is that what you're going to say about Wallasey?
Or do you want to say more about Wallasey?
Yeah, because we're not going to talk about it apart from this.
Wallasey is the best thing since sliced bread. That's what I'm going
to
say.
So, been very fortunate this year to play some incredible, incredible golf courses. I've been very fortunate, and you've tagged along a lot of the times this year.
Actually tagged along.
Tagged along at some of the amazing Break 75 venues we've played this year. Now, Wallasey Golf Club, which is down the road, almost a neighbour to Royal Liverpool, Hoylake, where it's got the Open next year, it can often kind of maybe somewhat get overlooked.
Yes.
And I don't think that's wrong to say.
I've overlooked it.
It's not an Open Championship venue. It's hosted bigger tournaments in the past, like English Amateur and some of the ladies' events and Open Qualifying back all the way in 2006, I believe, the last time it hosted Open Qualifying. It's one that could easily be neglected.
Yes.
It's unbelievable, the golf course. Unbelievable.
It's in my top three.
Top three golf courses.
It is. And it might be because
I'm almost intrigued to know what I know St. Andrews is number one for
That's number one, but that's not on the golf course. That's on the whole thing. Okay. But it's number one regardless.
So have you got a two and a three? Because I'd be intrigued to know what comes above that for you today. You don't have to say no. I don't want to put you on the spot.
No, I don't know. I think Birkdale is up there. Yeah. I feel like with Birkdale, I really enjoyed it. I played quite nicely, which is always good when you play a golf course and you play it nicely. But I think for Birkdale, I hear how other people rate it so highly. So that's almost made me rate it higher. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
But honestly, right now, I would say, although I've not played Kings Barnes, been a number of times, that place is unreal.
Yeah, that is
but I must
special.
Admit, other than that, I really can't put many above Wallasey on today. Today it was lovely weather. It was sunny. It was calm. The greens were insane. The condition was ridiculous. Everything about it. Played okay, well enough to enjoy it. Without giving it away, you played well enough to enjoy it. The inside the clubhouse was ridiculous. Everything about it.
The history of the place is some things I didn't know particularly. So we got shown around by Ren, who's the front of house manager.
Yeah.
And a lovely, lovely guy. And quite simply, the fantastic story of Wallasey, and certainly UK listeners and viewers will appreciate this. Over here in the UK, we play Stableford a lot in club competitions. Stableford is a format where if you have a blow-up hole, if you have a nightmare hole, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because you quite simply, on your net score, you get 2 points for a net par, 3 points for a net birdie, 4 points for a net eagle. And if you went the other way, you get 1 point for a net bogey. And after that, anything more than a net double bogey, 0 points.
Yeah.
So it means you can pick your golf ball up, you have a bad hole, but it doesn't matter. Because a couple of net birdies, it levels out.
Yes.
And the goal of the game of Stableford is after 18 holes to have, ideally, 36 points as you play into your handicap. The format Stableford was created on the second hole there by Dr. Frank Stableford himself. And it's a fantastic story. Quite simply, he hated the first hole. The first hole was a nightmare hole for him, which a lot of people don't like the first hole, do they? Like they can be, not. I'm not saying at that venue, their own golf course.
You get out of the car or whatever, you hit a bad shot, you've been excited all week to go and play golf, next thing you top one off the tee or you come off with a seven, it's like, oh, all week for that.
Your round could be ruined.
Could.
And basically Frank thought, you know what, I've had enough of this. I'm a clever man, I'm a doctor, I'm going to sort this out. So he prescribed golf,
nice,
the medicine, of being able to say, do not worry about having a blow-up hole. I'm going to come up with a format that's going to make everybody around the world enjoy golf more. And I do believe that that's what happened. was it 1931 the first, or
1932-ish, yeah, around that era.
Was the first time Stableford format was actually played at Wallasey, again, created by Frank Stableford. And like I say, in America, I know we've got a lot of American listeners and viewers, I don't believe it's a format that's used there at all.
Yeah, no, you said that to me. I didn't know that, but apparently it's not. But yeah, what a little plaque on the second tee where it was all invented. And then also it is the golf course where Bobby Jones qualified for the Open, which went on to win. So there's an unbelievable painting in there of him that he has signed that apparently, should we say this about Augusta?
I don't think we should say the value.
Okay.
But Augusta really, 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 really want that picture.
Yeah.
And they have offered a lot of money for that picture. And Wallasey have said no.
They've offered about the same amount that the golf bidder winner is going to win in vouchers. So that,
wow.
That's just showing how much it actually is.
So yeah, the original is there. It pride and place above the fireplace there at Wallasey in the clubhouse. And the clubhouse is so nice. Bobby Jones signed portrait, which Augusta only have a replica of. Because again, the story, Bobby Jones set up Augusta in the first place with Alistair McKenzie as the course designer. And even you go back to the history of Wallasey when it was established in 1891, it was Tom Morris who got commissioned to design the golf course.
And there's still four holes or four greens that are the same as when he designed it.
Yeah, it's just, anyway.
Great place.
Cannot rate it highly enough. And like I say, that'll be out in a couple of weeks. But we teed off at 7:30 this morning.
Mm.
We flew round.
We did.
We had to, because there was a chasing group, but we flew round. A couple of nice games of golf, and like I said, that'll be out next Friday. Had some nice food, and then we were heading back here to the podcast, because we want to make a podcast.
We want to make a podcast, and you, for reasons we won't get into, you had some issues with your car recently. And
so I've currently been cruising, and you know what? I was really excited about talking about this in the podcast. The last hour and a half.
I wouldn't name the brand of it, though.
Why not?
Because then you're giving them the exposure they wanted to give you in the first place. I wouldn't give them that.
Well,
it's up to you.
Yeah, but
go on then.
Another company, another rival company. So basically, I've got an Audi, and something went wrong with it, and I wasn't very happy. So I spoke to the guys at Audi and said, I'd like to have this rectified, and I'm interested in an electric car, and I'd like to try out one of the e-trons. They've loaned me for a week an e-tron GT RS.
Yes.
Which is a ridiculous, ridiculous car. It's like a spaceship on wheels, and it's electric, and it's fast as hell. And they gave it me last Wednesday with 258 miles of charge in it. That's the limit. Mm-hmm. Okay. I've been driving it all week, chilling out, thinking, yeah, whatever. If I get to charge it, I'll charge it. Whatever. Right. No big deal. Leaving Wallasey today. It was 36 miles to the office here to do our podcast. And on the barometer, on the mileage, it said 35 miles.
Mm, thought, close call.
It's going to be tight. So I thought, it's all right. Don't worry. Whatever. So set off on my way at 12 o'clock. 12 o'clock, I set off, right? Remember that time. And I'm driving along and I'm thinking, this is quite nice. And I won't go quite as fast. I'll reserve a bit of power. And about halfway there, I thought, well, let's stop off at a charging station. I've always wanted to do this. Why not? Pull into a petrol service station, pull off. There's two electric charging ports. I'm thinking, brilliant. This is handy as hell. I'm going to sit here for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, have a quick coffee. I can be on my way, ready for the podcast. Unfortunately, the one that was available was out of service. And then I continued to go to four more other charging stations, one at a travel lodge, which didn't work, one at a Fiat garage, which wouldn't let me charge it because it's an Audi, which I understand.
Yeah.
Another one that wouldn't allow me to log in with my phone, and then the final one, which was a Tesco, which I thought, okay, I'm in, free of charge, let's charge this puppy up. Okay. I was very conscious that I was leaving you guys waiting and everything else, not you guys listening and watching, you're going to get your podcast on time, but Guy and the team here waiting for the podcast. And so I plug it in. I'm feeling quite chuffed about myself. I walk in Tesco, grab a white Monster.
Nice.
Have a little mooch around. It's probably about 10 minutes, okay? I'm thinking, okay, that probably should be done by now. Got back to the car. It increased by 1 mile. 1 mile.
That's quite poor.
So I had to wait for literally an hour to charge like 5 miles. Just so I had now enough mileage to get to the office, because I'd been all around the bloody area, around Warrington, trying to find a charging port, that I've now managed to get to the office at 3 o'clock, 3 hours after I set off, which shouldn't have taken, it should have been a 56-minute journey. I've now abandoned the car in a local car park that promised me online on this bloody phone thing. I'm not blaming my phone, sorry. I'm blaming anything that's electronic now. They said there's going to be a charger there. There was no charger there. So I've literally abandoned my car in a car park with 0% mileage, zero mileage.
I don't know how you do this.
And I don't know what's going to happen next. So I'm frustrated.
Question for you. You like things being last minute. I get that. You like the excitement, the thrill, right? What I don't understand is, I'm sure you can clarify this for me. You knew on Friday you were coming here, right? Didn't you? Are you going to Walsey and back to here?
Yeah.
You knew that the numbers of miles were going down fast.
Yeah.
Going down quick, the way you've been driving that car, responsibly. Why did you not last night go and actually have a quick look online, go and do it last night, have half an hour in your car, scrolling, charge it up?
I've not got time for that. I'm a busy man. Life is busy, guy. A busy man. No, what was it? It was my daughter's birthday party this weekend. We had friends around on Saturday. We had a big blowout, hungover on Sunday. Yeah, granted. Didn't want to drive. Just one of those things. But yeah, I do live life on the edge, and sometimes I get my fingers burnt. And one of those days, today is the day
I would get it if it was fuel, where you knew that there, for example, was a petrol station, because you didn't understand where the infrastructure was going to be. That's the bit that's like a bit,
The thing that I was hoping for today, and I'm not blaming Wallasey for one second, because it's not their fault, it's my fault.
There'd be a charger at Wallasey.
If there was a charger there, life would have been rosy. Or the other thing that knocked me off, and it's not the driver's fault, it's my own fault, I've got to take full responsibility for my actions. When I first pulled into that service station, the first one that I pulled into with ample time, thinking this is rosy, and there was two charging stations there, and I went to the one that wasn't, it was out of order, the car next to me on the screen had only been there 3 minutes. If I'd got there 3 minutes earlier, I could have had that could have been me. I could have been in that coffee shop sipping my drink, and I could have watched that car pull up and be out of service and gone, ha ha, take that sucker.
I said this to you off air before. You live life on the edge, and 99 times 100, you float through life. Every now and again, like today, you get your fingers burnt. And I'm going to say it, I quite enjoy it.
But also, to some degree, I also quite like the drama of it all.
Yeah. So it's a tale to tell your grandkids.
As much as it's something to talk about on the podcast.
Speaking of drama.
One second. Go on. Speaking about new cars and electric. Yes, I'm interested if anyone wants to email. Go on.
Speaking of drama, people like Brake 75s because there's drama. There's you making birdies occasionally. There's you sometimes making doubles occasionally. We've got a very good one dropping this Friday at Delamere, Dunham Forest. I always get those two muddled up. I always will. At Dunham Forest. Good golf course. You challenged me.
We had a little match.
Stroke
play. People have been asking for it, guy.
People want to see how good I am against you, so they're going to see it. You're going to see it, and it was a good match. That's all I'm going to say for now.
You're going to see it, and you're going to finally find out
who was the best on the day. Who is the best on that day? Who was the best
golfer at this table
on that day? But the other news that's arguably even more exciting about that rubbish match doesn't even matter at all. No one's bothered about that match.
Not giving it away at all, but just enjoy it and watch it.
I played well. I did play well.
You did play
well.
I held my hands
up. I played well. Shoot me. Brake 75 last year, we did like 12, 13 episodes, wrapped it up, right? People liked it. This year, that was the plan. Let's do 12, maybe 14 episodes. You played some amazing golf courses. The plan's changed. Elaborate, Rick. Talk to me about the new plan for Brake 75.
Switch me on my camera, Matt. Breaking news. Brake 75 is going nowhere. We ain't ending it. I ain't going anywhere.
Start
beating my chest. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Brake 75 isn't going anywhere. We are going to continue it throughout the year. We're going to go and travel. We're going to go to different places around the world. We're going to go to Europe, America, Africa, Australia. we are going. Brake 75 is going on tour. It will not stop. It will never stop until I finally break 75. No, obviously.
The only time it will stop is when Rick can't charge his car and his clubs run it. But until that day, it's going on.
Yeah, so Brake 75, exciting. We are going to continue it throughout the year. And then the only thing that will change, each year you're going to get a new series. So we're in series 3 at the moment. No, we're not. We're in series 2. So start next year, we might just turn it into series 3 and episode 1, just so you understand when things actually got filmed. So I'm really looking forward to that. If there are golf courses if there's golf courses you'd love me to go and play, leave them in the comments on this post, or tweet me or at me at Instagram.
Any other ways?
There's lots. You can send me a letter via pigeon.
Pigeon.
Stick a letter on a pigeon, whisper in its ear, go to Rick Shields, and then see what happens.
Yeah. Go to the local electric charger. You'll see Rick there in tears.
So yeah, I'm really excited about that. I think it doesn't need to stop. The guys do a great job of editing it. Harry does a wonderful job. He's also had some assistance off Tim this year. Matt, Harry, Tim, even Ed has been out filming it this year. So hopefully you guys have been enjoying it. I think it's a much better product. It's not as kind of snappy, quick fire anymore. It's a little bit more
chilled out vibe.
It's a little bit more chilled out.
Throw a meme in there if needed.
They're probably going to get a little bit longer, the episodes. I'm sure that everyone's excited about that. Who's ringing me?
Howdy.
Howdy, yeah. You can't park your car there. We've noticed that it's got 0%. So yeah, Break 75 is staying. We are going to keep getting better at it. I honestly, right now, and I said it out on the golf course today, genuinely, I don't believe I've ever been as confident on a golf course as I was today.
Your chipping, there was one bad one, I think. Other than that, your chipping was like a different guy.
And I can kind of, I'm all right with the bad one because it was like, it was really tough shot, and it wasn't horrendous. It was just a really tough shot.
And also, if the bad ones are happening occasionally, but there's a lot more good, confidence will build, and then the bad one will start to go away.
So I'm really, really excited about that. I think spending time with the lads from Good, that kind of raised my game, because I had to, because they're very good players. Doing the meetup where there was like 500 people watching and I hit some really nice shots, that gave me some massive confidence. And I've just tried to snowball that confidence on top of each other. So fingers crossed we will continue it. And listen, I'm not going to break 75 every week, but the premise is not that. It's enjoy, sit back, relax, and hopefully you can watch a bit of nice golf.
Yes. We've had some great emails this week. We asked for emails and we're getting emails. So if you want to email us, podcast@rickshields.com. Obviously, we're going to do Dear Ricks every week for that awesome golf bit of prize that we don't know what it is yet, but it's going to be a lot in it. however, I have an email that is a real random one, but I'm going to read it out because it caught me. I've always said, punchy titles get me. I like clickbait. I get drawn in.
Clickbait the clickbait king.
Yeah, I agree with him. But it said, greetings from the past. So I was like, whoa, okay.
Uh-oh.
Whoa, what's going on here? From a guy called Mark Leach.
Mini Chardo.
Mark Leach. Let's call him Leachy or Leecho. What do you prefer? Leecho, Leachy?
Leachy. I don't think anyone should be an O.
Ricko. Well, exactly.
Obviously, I got that experience. Yeah. And
you hated that experience.
It kind of slightly haunted me.
What was worse, Ricko or what happened today with the car? Which was a worse experience?
Ricko, by a mile.
Was it?
Oh, God, yeah.
There was no gain from the Ricko incident, was it? No. So you get the thrill at least.
Yeah, I got the excitement and I got to, Ricko, it was like, the only thing that would have made Rico it more exciting if you'd lamped him. Yeah,
didn't need to, did I? He saw what he was dealing with and bailed. Anyway, well, probably a really nice guy deep down.
I know, sorry. You are watching. He won't remember.
So it says, hi, Guy and Rick. This is a giveaway there, what this might be. Hi, Guy and Rick. Think about that for a second. Greetings from the past. So that might seem a strange thing to say, but let me explain. I am a longtime fan subscriber of the channel Rick Shields Golf, but only have this week joined the podcast scene. Okay.
I think a lot of people this week have. We pushed it last week, didn't we?
We did. Good week last week. If you want to get any more beef with Tour Pros.
Oh, sorry. You mean the podcast, the podcast? I thought you meant the podcast group.
Oh, no. Sorry. You're right. I know we did. But he's on about the actual podcast, the whole thing. Okay.
Nice. Welcome.
Reason being.
Leachy.
Leecho. No, definitely Leachy. Reason being, I forgot to get some books for reading poolside whilst I'm on holiday.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Day this week, so I thought I'd find a podcast instead. Yours is the first one that I came to, probably because it's top of the chart. I don't know why, but it might be that. And to my horror, I discovered you're already 142 episodes in. Not wanting to miss out, I've started binging from the very beginning. And as I write this email, poor boy. I'm currently still in February 2020. Such simple times before anybody had heard of the word COVID. And Ed Brown was the only name on the VIP board. Remember Ed Brown? Going old school now. So then he says, now I have no idea whether or not you're still doing Listener of the Week or what the current requirements are. But I have attached screenshots showing I am following the Facebook pages and also shared the podcast group with my local community group. I would love to be your Listener of the Week in the full knowledge that I will not know if I've been accepted for about 6 months whilst I continue to plan through the episodes. By that time, I might have also forgotten I even sent this email. So it'll be an unexpected surprise if I get a shout out. Leechy, as some people know him as, you are this week's Listener of the Week. If you don't know what Listener of the Week is, you're new around here. Listener of the Week was a big part of the podcast back in the early days, back in the garage days.
OG days.
The really OG days. So he has actually sent us, he's a member of the group, he's following you on Facebook, and he's also put a post in the Facebook as well and shared it with his friends as well. So big shout out for Listener of the Week.
That right now, he could probably work out when it's not going to be played. Like, he knows at least for the next 2 years of listening,
yeah,
this isn't going to come up in the conversation. Yeah. That's madness. Well done. You know what? Dedication.
Yeah.
Well done. And I feel sorry for you listening all the way back then.
We may bring back Listener of the Week occasionally.
I feel like if you honestly binged and listened to every episode, we've probably contradicted ourselves so often.
Oh, yeah.
Like 143 episodes.
Well, that's the beauty of
weekly podcasts.
You do that sometimes.
Maybe we should start deleting one.
Imagine that if once it was up for a week, it was gone. So you had to be in the clubhouse constantly.
Be quite good, that actually,
it would be good,
it?
Yeah. We could say things then, and then no one would be able to, like, they could record it, I suppose. So this is going to be the first Dear Rick brought to you by, powered by my friends, your friends, Golf Bidder GB. I sometimes call them when I'm just chilling out.
Go
me
for
and
it.
GB. So I'm not going to read out the person's name because it's about his son, and I don't want his son to get complex.
Okay,
my son's little. Joking. Sorry, I had to bleep that out. It says,
put a timestamp on that, Matt.
Yeah. Hi, Rick and Guy. My son, X, started playing golf seriously last year and got his first handicap in August last year, which was 52.4, right? After less than a year, his handicap is 11.3. So he's dropped 41 shots in a year. That's insane.
Incredible.
Which I think is a superb achievement on its own, but in the last few weeks, he started getting very frustrated and very angry, throwing clubs, and his dummy has been getting spat out the pram.
I love that he's emailing this to us.
He thinks he should be hitting every shot like a professional, aka like a Rick Shields. Could you give him any advice and tips on his game? Love the podcast, love the videos, keep up the great work. We both listen and watch every week. P.S. We're in the clubhouse, so...
You said that was some intent then.
We're not going to say the guy's name because...
And how old is he?
Well, he doesn't say, but I feel like I'm going to say around 14, 15.
Yeah, I was thinking like maybe 12 or 13.
Yeah. Let's go 12 to 15 bracket.
Okay, this is my advice. And it's three very simple words.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Golf is hard. That golf is hard. And I think what's really hard, certainly for this young lad who's obviously had tremendous improvement in a very, very short period of time, he's going to expect that same level of improvement all the time.
Yeah.
And it doesn't happen because when you first start and you start, your win is just to hit the golf ball.
100%.
Your win is then to hit it 50 yards or 100 yards or whatever that may be, there's no, you're not disappointed with bad shots. Bad shots happen. And you're like, well, I'm expecting that. Over the period of time he's been playing golf, and it's not long, is it a year? Pretty much a year now. He's come down 40 odd shots. So he's improved tremendously well. He must have great sporting ability. He now has got to a point where improvement is slower. Mm. It doesn't come as quick anymore. He's not going to drop another 40 shots next year. It's impossible. So he's got to understand that there is a limit to the improvement scale. And if he's got down to 11 so quickly, there will be a little bit, sometimes you'll hit a brick wall. Mm. And sometimes it isn't easy to get down to single figures or to get down to five, whatever his next goal may be. Because again, golf is hard. And he might have just got to a limit that is ahead of his progressive curve, really. He shouldn't be at 11 in that short space of time, really. So he's probably got to a point now where he's getting frustrated. He's thinking he should keep improving. And I'm sure a lot of people around him, maybe even his dad or fellow people he plays with, will be giving him, oh God, you've improved so much. I can't believe how well you've done. And suddenly when that improvement starts to slow down, you suddenly start questioning, oh God, am I still as good as I should be?
Yeah.
So I think my advice for him genuinely is golf is hard. I remember when I was a young lad learning this game, I used to get really frustrated. I was definitely through the dummy out of the pram many, many times. Wasn't proud of it, but at the time it's your emotions. It's growing up. It's, you know, being 13, 14, 15. It's dealing with a lot of different emotions that are going through your body. And it's hard to control those emotions sometimes, certainly on a golf course, certainly a sport that you probably love, that you want to just keep getting better at.
I think what's difficult as well, you hear sometimes about when like footballers spit on the pitch or whatever, or do bad tackles, that they're worried then that youths may copy because that's what the professionals do. Now, thankfully, obviously golf, there's very few bad examples that we see. But you sometimes see some golfers on tour slam a club or do whatever, shout in anger, break a club even occasionally. But what those guys typically... I
think our friend John Daly broke his putter this week.
Well, there you go. But what those guys typically do very well, they have the moment of madness, and then very quickly, maybe untrained eye doesn't even know, they get back into game mode again. And if you're watching a tour pro, I'm not saying that's why these youngsters do that, but you can see it on telly, it becomes accepted. Most amateurs can't do that. If we hit a bad shot and scream and shout and throw our club, we're so angry, our blood pressure gets so, our heart rate gets so high, our blood pressure increases, etc., etc. We get all fidgety, annoyed, angry. The next shot is inevitably going to be another bad one. And that one bad shot leads on to three or four or five. And next thing is an NR on that hole or whatever.
Do you ever go into blurry head mode?
Yeah.
Where like you almost can't focus, like your eyes are like blurry and it's just like... You certainly, if you're having an absolute nightmare in a hole and you're stuck in a bunker or you're four-putted or you've just hit two out of bounds off the tee, and suddenly this kind of fog fills your mind. Happens. And it's so hard to kind of snap out of it. So for me, he's probably not doing anything massively wrong. He's probably just learning to control his emotions. He's improved really, really quickly. It sounds like he needs some new golf clubs from Golf Bidder. It's the best story we've heard so far.
Yes, it is, definitely.
In the Deer Rick series.
It's a quick one, though, on that. This is something that baffles me about golf, and I'll never, ever, I don't think, get... How do I almost find... Comprehend this, is that we went to, as we said all last week, JCB for the seniors event, right? Par 72, mixture of tees, some off the black, some a bit more forward, but either way, it was set up nicely. Tough golf course, right? James Kingston, the first round, shot 62.
It's mad. 10 under par. I can't even dream 10 under par.
And I said to you last week, even doing that on a pitch and putting 100 yards, you still got to make 10 birdies. It's still unbelievable golf. Never mind a proper championship golf course under pressure when you play for money. The next day, James Kingston shot 74. So it was a 12-shot swing. So think how good he must be at the moment. Obviously good anyway, but in a good, you know, in a good streak, good spell, to go out and shoot 10 under. The very next day, he shot two over. So even those guys at that level have days of massive...
12 shots difference.
100%. So,
have you got the leaderboard there in front of
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah. He ended up coming tied third. So he still did well.
This is a mad one. Look at Sandy Lyle's scores.
Was he near...
So he did come near the bottom, but he had two. The first two rounds weren't his finest at all. Check out his final round.
Yeah, so there you go. I'll read him out. He went 81, 83. So obviously, again, not his best golf. Then 68.
Like, that's crazy.
Oh, that's the flip side of it. So it's like, if
he had
guys...
three rounds and didn't shoot in the 70s.
Yeah.
He had 81, 83, 68.
But that's the thing, though. If these guys at this level are having such... And that's not, I don't mean that by being a few shots here or there. Massive, huge swings. then obviously, you know, junior who's been playing a year might one week go out and shoot his 11 over par to his handicap, and that's nice, played well today. There's no reason why the next week he won't go out and shoot 23 over. It happens, and it's frustrating. I don't think we'll ever get our heads fully around it, but unfortunately, that is golf, and it's kind of why we love it, because we also get so frustrated by it.
100%. I think that is one of the most fascinating things about golf, where when we were running a lot, certainly that month of May, when we're trying to do 100K in May, I could almost, to a degree, I saw improvement every single run.
Yes.
Every run, I got faster. And I would have been totally shocked if suddenly one of my runs was 5 minutes slower.
Yeah.
It just wouldn't have been. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Unless I was injured. And I feel like in that level of sport, whether it was running or whether it was, I can't think of any athletic sports really, I'm sure they look at it and go, God, I was 0.3 difference today. Mm. I can't believe that difference. In golf, it can be such vast differences that, like I say, it can just completely blow you out the water, 100%. Which is mad.
I totally agree. I was going to come on something then. I've got it, and now I've got it again.
Go.
So we've not mentioned before the podcast we were going to talk about this, but I think we should. We've had a question about you reviewing clubs. Will you review the Titleist TSR? Short answer is yes, you will be at some point. But maybe a little bit about how we see you reviewing clubs in the next few months, years, and how much of a priority it is and stuff like this. I think it's something good to talk about on this platform where I've got the time to delve a bit deeper into how you see club reviews going and how much of a priority they are in terms of the content, etc.
I've always, over the 10 years of making YouTube videos, because I started reviewing products very, very early in my YouTube career, have always enjoyed it. I've never been, as people know, I've never been attached to a golf shop or a golf store, totally independent. I'd never signed to a club brand. My honest opinion, I feel like that I hit it well enough to give really good data, but also I'll hit it across the face accidentally to give some reference on forgiveness, dispersion, things like that. I've got a fairly repetitive action that gives me some really consistent numbers. And I've really enjoyed testing products, and I'll talk about whether I like the look of it, the price of it, the feel of it. And over 10 years of testing products, I feel like I've got a very, very good gauge of what a product feels like in the very first few hits. Mm-hmm. Like, I've hit so many different drivers, I can kind of feel different things that probably a lot of amateurs or a lot of people who don't test golf equipment for a living can't really feel sometimes. Yeah. And I still love it. Every year, certainly towards Titleist, come out with new drivers every 2 years. TaylorMade, Callaway, Cobra normally come out with drivers every year at the start of the year, and Ping come out every kind of 18 months or 2 years. 18 months or 2 years. For a lot of the headline drivers, I'll probably still be reviewing because I do enjoy reviewing them.
Yeah,
definitely. How much of a priority it is now, I'm still passionate about it. I still want to do it, but I think I possibly prioritize other content over reviews a little bit more. Like, I, from the viewers, from what people have said, they like seeing me go out and play golf. They like seeing me challenge against other people. They like seeing that side of things. Reviewing equipment is a part of the business, a part of what we do, but it's not as, I'm not reviewing every single golf club all the time. Yeah. That'd be summarized.
No, I think, 100%. I think what we've said, kind of when we've talked about it before, is it's still a core part of what you do. And we actually, as kind of equipment nerds, love getting new drivers in our hands. I'll hit some off camera. You'll obviously hit loads and loads of balls. We'll discuss it loads. Again, off camera, you go through a very in-depth review. On camera, even on the podcast, we'll talk about stuff again. So it excites us, but it has become a point, certainly a lot of, certainly drivers and things, where it has hit, we know there's a bit of a limit, isn't there? So most drivers come out and they are quite similar. So it's how do we make videos still fun and exciting whilst reviewing that driver? And like you said, it's something we're going to continue to do, but it's just maybe not the focus it once was.
Yeah. So, yeah, there'll still be, I'll be testing the Titleist, I'll be testing all the different drivers. But for me, I test product that excites me, or I think there's a interesting story around it. So, for example, a few weeks ago, we tested that Ping Chipper.
Yeah.
Because that's interesting. Ping, a really established brand, have brought out a chipper.
Yeah.
Effectively a gimmick golf club. Fascinating. Like, I love testing different golf balls. I love testing everything. But like I say, I'm not testing every single set of irons, hybrids, three woods, drivers in the world. It's just not feasible. It's not something that I'm wanting to do all the time. But for your main real flagship products from your brands and ones that have really interesting stories, make sure you are subscribed to my main channel to not miss out on any of the new reviews that will be coming for the foreseeable future.
Yes. Do you want a few Facebook questions, a few quickies?
Quickies.
So again, if you're not a member of the Facebook group, what are you doing? Join it. Rick Shields Golf Show podcast group on Facebook. Chris Desborough asks, what are your club head speeds with driver pair of you?
I would normally say I'm 110, yeah, 110 miles per hour.
I'd say we're very similar, but then I'd say we're quite close on driver, but you're longer with irons. I'd say club comfortably more. This is a good one for you. Matt Bowden, how often do you clean your golf clubs?
Oh my God. Never. The other day when we played Dunham, I looked at my golf clubs and I thought, they are disgusting, Rick. Mm. So I went in the shop and bought a groove cleaner nice. And I bought a towel with all intents to clean my clubs that I played. I think I did it twice. I don't know. Like, sometimes if I'm stood on a par three, I'll just get my tee peg and through the grooves. But I've said it before, I don't like the clubs to look too shiny. Like, I don't like them to look too perfect behind the ball. Like, I look down at it and go, it just puts me off. Yeah. I'm more looking at the club head, where if there's a bit of dirt and a bit of muck on it, just not to affect the ball flight, but I'm like, yeah, that's more my style.
I like mine being clean, but I found if I actually the night before go play golf, clean them and get all excited to play worse.
Yeah, I do.
So I'd rather just than be okay.
The only time I do really quite like it is similar to that. If you go to like a posh golf course,
yeah,
and sometimes you arrive early, the clubs get whisked away and they get cleaned. I quite like that.
That is a nice touch.
Because it feels like, well, someone's put the time and effort in, and I really appreciate that. But I don't feel like I've put
no pressure on you.
I've not put the love in.
Yeah.
So the clubs don't owe me anything.
Okay.
Where someone else have given the love.
I get that.
So I feel like, okay, you're back.
Lucas Harford, what course etiquette / unspoken rules do you think are legit versus one do you think are minimal? So I suppose he means what things on the golf course make a massive difference that people should do versus not. So for example, it's quite rude or you wouldn't walk across somebody's line. In reality, in the grand scheme of things, when another 100 people might walk that green, does it make that much difference? I don't know. Like, I've played casually with friends and they've walked over my line. Doesn't make that much difference. But that's one I wouldn't do.
I would say the only thing it depends on is the squishiness of the greens.
Yes, true.
And how heavy set said person was.
Very true.
And how big the feet are.
Very true.
Because suddenly if you've got wet greens, someone heavier with big feet, there's definitely indentations that take place.
Yeah.
Which don't recover quick enough for your putt, but probably recover quick enough for the group behind.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think stuff like people standing in your eye line, it's not going to make that much difference, but it's quite nice when you play with people who know a bit about how to play golf and maybe more established too. But
I don't like when someone's messing in the golf bag when you're hitting a shot.
Yeah,
or they're messing in the pockets and you can hear tee pegs and coins and whatever rattling around. Yeah. I really don't like that.
I suppose I used to be, because I used to play a lot more competitively, only at my club, nothing massive. I was a lot more playing golf like that, where people were more serious and kind of more whatever. Whereas now, if I play with friends, I'm a lot more just chill. I don't really care. If someone's having a chat or on the phone, I'm hitting a shot or whatever, it doesn't bother me as much. So that's first.
I think maybe phones, I know I've been guilty of it. I think phones actually ringing on a golf course can be a bit annoying.
Yeah.
Because you don't expect it, do you? It's the unexpectation of it all.
Yeah.
But apart from that, I don't, And so never, last thing on this, never pick another man's hole, ball out the hole. Pick another man's hole. never pick another man's ball out of its hole. What? Never pick a ball out the hole that's not yours.
Okay.
Certainly on a hole in one.
Okay. Yeah, we got it in the end. That was nice. So Thomas Buckley has asked one question. This might be his only ever question that he gets read out on the podcast ever. So thanks, Thomas Buckley, for this. It is, what is Rick's best score on Dino Falls?
I've never counted fully, but I went with my son, my niece and my mum last week and I had 4 hole-in-ones. It's the best I've ever done. And literally nobody cared. It was almost like I should do it.
You should. Good though.
Yeah, it's really good.
I've got a question that's quite a good one, actually. It's a short one, and I feel like the answer most people would say is the cheapest, but I'm gonna double. So it's from Mikey Middleton. The best golf ball for those that tend to lose 3 or more around. Okay.
Have you got? I've got a ball.
You're gonna say? I think you're gonna say Costco.
No, Yeah, actually, Kirkland Signature or Strixon AD 333.
Yeah, golf balls. The reason I was going to say that was because I think when you ask that question, naturally, a lot of people would say the cheapest. Because if you're losing three balls per round and you're playing a lot of golf, that could get quite pricey. So Fair Play, maybe a cheaper ball. However, like I can genuinely at the minute lose three balls a round, not in my drive very well. If I lose one ball, I'm quite happy with that, which is pathetic, I know. But equally, just because someone's losing a lot of golf balls, it might be off the tee, they still want to play maybe a golf ball that's soft or that's premium or they trust or whatever. So it's kind of a combination. If you're happy to lose three balls, well, not happy to, but you're happy to pay to lose three golf balls, I'd say play the best golf ball that either fits you or that you want to play. If you don't want to spend a lot of money, just buy the cheapest instance.
The Kirkland Signature is a very, very good golf ball.
Maybe one more from Filippo Sotto. When are you coming to America?
Breaking news. We've had a lot of breaking news things today. Actually, this is not confirmed, so it's not really breaking news. We were definitely talking to the lads from Good Good about doing a re-collaboration in Texas this year. I'm saying nothing more.
Last one then, very last one. It is from David Mostyn. This could be another breaking news one. Can you host a party at next year's... Sorry, I'm getting excited. Coughing. Can you host a party at next year's Open and invite us all to join you? I feel like you could do breaking news. You're gonna host a party at the Open, potentially. Could do.
You know what would be really cool? And I think we have to do it now before... Because I always leave things too late.
Yeah.
Hence today, not charging my car. Why don't we buy a rent a house in Hoy Lake?
For the Open?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like proper go to town.
Yeah.
The Rick Shields house.
Yeah. Would it have access to the public though, a bar or?
For a fee, but yeah. But do it really cool.
Do it.
Like every night, that's the place to go. Do you think?
Yeah.
I've just had a phone call about, I've just had a phone call from Hoy Lake saying, yeah, that's good.
Okay, perfect. Let's do it.
The estate agent at Hoy Lake. We're going to buy one of the houses on the side of the golf course.
Next year's Open should be good, actually. I know it's a long way off, wishing our lives away.
Yes.
But next year's Open, you're getting a house. We can do podcasts there. People can come and chill. The banter house. You don't have to pay. It's a password. You knock on the door, you go, password. You go, banter house. You're in. Wow. One guess.
Dodgy. It should be really good. So, guys, how long was that, Matt?
Yeah, it's nice. It works.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. A little bit short and brief today because I've got to go and rescue my car. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Thank you to Golf Bidder. We have got some really cool guests lined up over the next couple of podcasts. So sit back, relax, enjoy, and we'll see you next week. That was a weird question.
Yeah, it was a bit weird. See you later. Peace.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.